Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. I appreciate everyone who prayed for us while we were gone. And we did make a quick trip to Maryland and back, and it's a lot farther. Every time I drive it seems like it gets farther and farther away all the time. And it was good to see our people, and I think we were there about 48 hours, and we drove 32, amen, to getting back there and back, and so it was a quick trip. But praise the Lord that He has His people all over the place, amen, that I'm thankful that the Lord saved me there in that place and grew me up and really invested in my life in that place. And really, we're about to enter a spring campaign here in Landmark. We've done it several times with our camp campaign, and we're going to try to let young people earn their week to camp so they can just gain points by bringing their Bible, dressing right, and memorizing scripture, bringing others to church with them. And so we're going to be entering that campaign, and we're calling it The Search. And the camp theme this year is Search Me, O God. Amen. And so again, the idea here is to search for each week. They're going to be searching for truth, searching for the Word of God. They're going to be searching for all these different things through Sunday school campaign and gaining points as they memorize verses and try to grow closer to the Lord. But here in the church, we're going to be, and if you saw the bulletin, we're going to be having special Sundays where we are having, next week is going to be the Search for Friends. And we want you to go out and invite your friends to be in church with you. We want you to go out. I think the next week is Fulfillment. And each week is going to be something different. We'll go all the way through our Resurrection Sunday with those things. And each week will be a week that maybe somebody, I think the Search for Fulfillment is one of the weeks. Maybe there's somebody out there that you know is that you can invite to come. And we'll be trying to preach in those different areas during those different weeks for those folks that you see maybe has a need in that area. One of the things that we all need, friends. Amen. And the Bible says to have friends is we got to show ourselves friendly. And even the way the Bible uses that terminology, it teaches us that those that you know, they have friends. It means you start out with a couple. Amen. And that means you get the way you keep friends is to show yourself friendly. And in the house of God here, in our fellowship, one of the things that I believe that most people need is encouragement. I want to encourage you today, as we search for folks to bring in, don't forget the ones that are sitting next to you. And I've been ever realizing, as we've done so many funerals as of late, that their people are hurting in all different kinds of ways, not just to the loss of family and things, but people are struggling on a daily basis. And most of the time, we're struggling too. But what we really can do for each other is to encourage each other. We need that. We need that on a daily basis. Here, if we're not careful, we'll end up like the disciples here in Matthew 18. And we find them trying to, they meet with the Lord Jesus here, and they want to know who's going to be the greatest. You know, if we're not, you know, I like to win. You know, I'm not like a big, you know, T-ball guy. I didn't let my kids play T-ball unless there was a winner. Man, I wanted them to learn that somebody won and somebody lost. This business of we're not going to keep scores, you know, that's for some other country, not for here. Amen. And I'll leave it at that. But, you know, I mean, I think that when you set out to do something, you ought to set to attain something or to receive. I think you ought to run to receive a prize. I think if you're going to run, otherwise it had to be because a dog is chasing me. I'm not running just to run. Amen. I want to receive a prize. I want to do something. And so in this life, I want to seek to attain. And I know that every one of us in the Christian life, every one of us are seeking a reward. At least we ought to come to a place where we realize one day, as a Christian, I'm going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's going to not judge me for my sin, but He's going to evaluate the opportunities that I had to serve Him in the body. When the Bible says I'm going to be judged for that which I did in the body, it means one day I'm going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to be measured because of what I did with the opportunities I was given. In this campaign, you say, well, another campaign, preacher. Yes, it's just another opportunity. You know, if you needed an excuse to tell somebody about your Jesus, I just gave it to you. I said, go out and get a friend. Go out and find somebody that needs fulfillment. Find someone that you feel like that week fits them to a T, and this is a good reason to invite them to come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Savior. Or maybe they'll be like what we're going to talk about today. Maybe they've been in church. Maybe they're a member here, but you ain't seen them in a while. You know what they need? They need encouragement. They need somebody to go out while they're astray, tell them, hey, why don't you turn back in? Why don't you come back into fold? Why don't you come back into fellowship? And, you know, we oftentimes we don't realize how much somebody needs encouragement. I've had people in my church that I grew up in. I remember they said, well, you know, they know what I did down at that place. They heard about how I fell and I tripped, you know, but a righteous man, look, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to get back up and dust ourselves off. We're supposed to get back up and get back in. When I grew up in a church that's a cowboy church, we have a horse camp. And you know what they first taught me when I was a boy? If you fall off, get back on. You don't fall off and stay off. You're not only teaching yourself a bad lesson and not getting back in the saddle, but you're hurting a horse, because if he thinks, if I can throw this person off, they can be off my back and I don't have to carry anybody anymore. And I can tell you, there were some rides that some of them horses gave me that I did not want to get back in the saddle. All right? I mean, I knew that the best thing for me and the horse right then was for us to take a break. That's what I thought. But you know, I realize he just gave me a ride, he's tired too, and he's thinking, man, I hope he don't get back on. Amen? Some of the worst fights I've ever been in my life, I thought, I hope he don't swing no more. Amen? And I think in the Christian life, a lot of times people, they're wearied out in the world, and sometimes if someone would just ask them one more time, if somebody would just invite them to come back and say, sit with me. I miss seeing you in church. I miss you being in God's fellowship and with the believers. And so encourage them to come back in. Here in Matthew chapter 18, we'll begin in the very first verse, and we'll kind of jump down this morning for time's sake. But let me just encourage you as we read this. You know, one of the things that God wants for us is I'm running my own race, and you're running your own race. You know, we're not all called to be the pastor of the Landmark Baptist Church, but God has called every one of us to do something. Somebody, maybe God called you to be a bus captain. Maybe God called you to work in the nursery or to be a Sunday school teacher or a junior church worker, a faithful member of this church. Whatever it is that God's asked you to do, a faithful member of the choir, you ought to do that faithfully. And we ought not be trying to do one better than somebody next to us. That's a bad mindset in the Christian life. Or trying to measure other people by what we do. Sometimes we get a bad mindset because we think that somebody else doesn't level up to what we think they ought to be. They have to run their own race. God has placed us. We're not in the old rat race of the world. We left that when we put off the old man and got saved and came into the church. Now we're running the race that is set before each and every one of us. We ought to run it in His church. We ought to run it to try to help. Again, we gather together in fellowship to complete the Great Commission as a body of believers. That's why we join ourselves together. It's a lot more exciting to go soul winning with somebody else than it is to go by yourself. It's a lot better to go out and tell people about Jesus and invite them to a place that's going to be full than to invite them to a place that's going to be empty. Amen? And so we must, as believers, we join ourselves together, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. But here in the Scripture, if we're not careful, we'll get ourselves off track because we're trying to attain, or who's going to be the best? Or am I better than so-and-so? Am I better than this person? No, no, no. My measuring, I'm never going to reach Christ, but my goal is to run my race and to be as much like Jesus Christ as I can be and to grow me. I shouldn't set my sights on anybody else and try to attain to them. I'm supposed to keep my eyes on the one that never changes, the one that's the same today and forever. He's going to yesterday as well. Amen. And so as we see the Scripture in chapter 18, that's where we find ourselves. We find ourselves with disciples who, again, with that bad mindset. He says in verse 1, he says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And he said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I just want you to understand this morning that Jesus kind of takes them all back. I think he sets them awry and sets them up on their head. They didn't expect this to come. They expected a deep deep theological answer to come from the Lord Jesus Christ. They thought for him to go back to the law and to run the books of the Old Testament to explain who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus took an earthly illustration and grabbed a small little child and said, "Hey, son, come here." And he took him and he set him on his lap and he said, "Hey, you see this one right here? Unless you be converted." You know, converted means that it's changed. Now, when I was a boy, the only thing we converted was the old tractors from 6-volt to 12-volt. And it was important because it was hard to get a 6-volt battery and they didn't have as much juice as a 12-volt. And listen, I don't have time to teach you science this morning to tell you how you convert 6-volt to 12-volt, but it can be done. And if you put a 12-volt on a 6-volt, boy, will it crank. Amen. But it won't crank but many times before you burn that joker up. And I just want to tell you this morning that, you know, we need to be converted. You know, converted, it just means that we're changed. We're not the same thing that we used to be. We chose to move from one thing to the other. You know, I used to be lost and now I'm saved. I used to be of the old man, but now I'm of the new man. The Bible says to be converted means I need to change from something that I was to something that I now am. And that you can't be saved and lost and be the same time. You got to be converted. I was born a lost sinner. Way back in the Garden of Eden, Adam came and he was out there working, trimming trees, and his wife had to be putting him up to that, right? No, it was the Lord that told him to keep the garden. It was the Lord that gave him work. Work isn't a four-letter dirty word. It's what all of us ought to be doing in this life, amen? And the Lord set him to work and gave him a plan, but along the way, his wife fell in. She was what? Deceived. But old Adam, he wasn't deceived at all. He knew what God's word was. He knew he wasn't supposed to eat of that tree. And because of the compelling of his wife, he made a conscious decision to fall into sin, to eat of the fruit that he was not supposed to eat. And he made a conscious decision to do wrong. And since that day, every man, woman, and child on planet Earth have been born into sin, except for one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he didn't come of the seed of Adam. He came of the seed of God, his father. Amen. And according to the scripture, the seed of Abraham. Amen. For such a time as this in this world to be born into this place. You say, "Preacher, I don't understand where you're going with all this." I said all that to say this. Every man that's ever been born of woman that had a father that was of this earth was born into sin. But Jesus didn't come through a man from this earth. He came from God. And he was different. He was born of a virgin. And that man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Do you know that passage of scripture comes from Luke 19:10 and is a parallel scripture to Matthew 18. He says here in verse number 10, "Take heed that ye despise not the ones of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold their face of my Father which is in heaven, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." You know that I was sitting with a man yesterday and he talked about how gracious God was. He talked about all the times that he'd done stupid things as a lost man and how maybe he had a car accident or maybe it was a motorcycle accident or just things that could have taken him out and he could have gone into eternity lost in his sins. But he said God was gracious. God was merciful. God kept me here until one day I heard about Jesus and how he came to earth from heaven and that he lived a perfect life and that he died on Calvary and that he rose again to pay my sin, that same Jesus kept me alive. You know this verse here, it says of these little children, I can tell you about some things I remember as a child, things that I did, and man, I stopped just short of, getting killed. Stopped just short of things, and I thought, man, I can't believe I stopped right before I fell. It was like something grabbed me. You know what I'm talking about? If you can go back and remember your childhood, you know, it's like somebody caught you just at the last minute before you really hurt yourself. Or could, you know, and God has appropriated angels on this planet, all right, that are assigned to you, and it is no mystery. You say, "Well, I could have died so many times." You know why? Because God has given angels to watch over you and to superintend. And the day of salvation, and a day that you'd walk into a church like this, and a preacher would get up and preach from the Word of God and tell you that it's not about leveling up. It's not about your work so that you can be the greatest, but it's if you humble yourself as a child and be converted and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's what it was about all those years. God didn't save you in this earthly life and protect you till you could come to a place. He protected you so you could get saved. So that you can humble yourself. You see, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He not only came to seek, he says in verse 11, for the Son of Man is come. Present tense. He was there in the world. He's talking to his disciples. He's speaking to little children and he's saying that I'm here to save those that are lost. I came so that I could pay a penalty that you couldn't pay. You realize that sin is, it has coupled to it death. I mean, that is the penalty for sin. And it's not, you say, well, everybody dies, preacher. You're absolutely correct, but not everybody has to face the second death. The second death is death in hell. It's not just death in hell, but where hell's going to end up. That's the lake of fire. Its eternal home will be with everyone who is lost without Jesus Christ, who's never accepted him, and those that are spent. Listen, I'm just telling you this morning that Jesus came to pay a sin debt that you and I couldn't pay. Jesus came to help us be converted, if I could say it that way, not just help us, but he transformed us. I know you may not understand the science of 6 volt to 12 volt, but that doesn't just happen. There's no such thing as evolving into it. There's no, you know, the tractor doesn't just, you don't pray over the tractor and the tractor is all of a sudden going to be 12 volt. You don't just go to a place and that happened. You have to physically have something happen for it to make it happen, for to move from one thing to the other. And I'm just going to tell you, the day that I got saved, there was something that came into my heart and soul and life. There was somebody that came from heaven and physically walked on planet Earth. There was a person who came with pure blood that came and shed his blood so that I might go free. There was a Savior who died on Calvary and physically rose from the dead that I could be converted from death unto life, that I could be converted from the old man to the new man. If you're here and you say, I don't know what you're talking about, preacher, listen, you've got a God. There's a God in heaven who cared enough about you not only to appropriate an angel to keep you alive until you could hear the scripture, but he's a God who sent his own Son to die on Calvary and to pay for your sin debt because no one else could. That same Jesus is the one speaking here. He says in verse 12, how think ye? I want to ask you this morning. Now, he's going to talk about something that is so important here, and he's going to talk about how the 99 were still in the fold and one went astray. But I ask you this morning, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, how think ye? Do you think that if you're good enough, that your goodness will get you to heaven? I'm here to tell you, this Bible says that's not true. Do you think being a church member is going to get you to heaven? I'm here to tell you this morning that the Bible says that that's not true. How think ye? How think ye about that? Do you know it's a time like this, sometimes at a funeral, sometimes at the end of our lives, or maybe in the midst of a day when you come to church and you sit down and somebody proposes the question, what think ye? What do you think about Jesus? Yeah. Do you know there's a bunch of people that believe in Jesus, but they think he was a good man. Yeah. He was more than just a good man. He's the Son of God. 100% man and 100% God. Perfect, sinless, Son of God. What think ye this morning? You think baptism's going to get you to heaven? This book doesn't say that tank, that water, that it can wash away anything. It may wash away the filth of the flesh, but not the soul. It's only Jesus. He says in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus made it exclusive. Not because he didn't want you to get to heaven some other way, because he is the only way. He makes it exclusive because there's only one way. You can't go in your works. You'll fail. You'll never get to heaven. You can't be converted in your own works. You can't be converted by baptism. You can't be converted by, you know, works plus this or that. It's only by the finished work of Jesus Christ that you can be converted from lost to saved. You say, preacher, you're trying to make it awful plain. I sure am trying to make it awful plain for you today. You see, the way a man is saved, how do you think you're saved? Listen, the only true way of salvation is to confess the name that is above every name. Amen. To confess the name of Jesus Christ. To come to him and accept his payment that he's already made. You know, he already died on the cross. He already rose again. He already made the payment that needed to be made for your soul, your sin, your salvation, to be converted unto him. But what he's waiting for is for you to come to him for that salvation. I've told, I bet, 100 to 1,000 people this. I've used this illustration. You know, there's a year, every year there comes this day, it's my birthday. Amen. You got one too, right? Unless you were hatched. All right? But you had a birthday that you came into this world. And for some weird reason, you didn't do anything to be birthed into this world. You just showed up. Amen? But they celebrate your birth. And they give you presents. And you didn't do anything for it. You didn't deserve it. You just show up. You were born. And everybody celebrates that day. And I've been to so many birthday parties already in my life. And I show up and I look at all the presents. But you know, I could leave them on the table. And they were for me. Someone went out and purchased them for me. Someone spent themselves for me. And they were all there. But if I don't receive them, they've done me no good. I've showed up to my own party. And hey, folks, I'm just going to tell you, you've come to the house of God today. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, he is presenting you with salvation. He's giving you the gift of salvation, of eternal life, to be converted from death into life. And it's sitting there on the table like a birthday present. And the only thing you have to do is not work for it, not keep it, not get baptized for it, not do anything for it, but just receive it as yours because God has given it to you. You know, the Bible even uses the terminology being born again into God's family. And if you were to receive Jesus today, you would actually have a brand new birthday. It's a second birth. It's being born again into God's family. And you open that thing up and it will change everything about you. I've had some birthday presents. Boy, I remember one. I wanted a bicycle. I wanted one so bad. I'm telling you, I didn't have a bicycle. And I needed a bicycle because everybody else had a bicycle. I wanted a blue bicycle. I didn't want no stinking pink bicycle. That was for girls. I wanted a blue bicycle. I was a man at 7. I wanted to ride that thing. Amen? And they brought that bicycle down. And now, I mean, I remember at the birthday party, everything was going on. And I was saying, there ain't no bicycle here. We was going to have problems, right? I remember that. I remember that day. And I remember my aunt Judy is going home to be with the Lord. I mean, she didn't have any kids of her own, but she loved us, all her nephews and nieces. And I remember my mom and dad had got me some other things, but I mean, my Aunt Judy had listened and knew that more than anything else, what I wanted was a bicycle. And I remember that bicycle coming in the door. After I'd opened everything, after everything else I had tried, everything else that I thought was going to satisfy, man, here's that bicycle. Man, I didn't touch another toy the rest of that night. It was dark on the street. My dad's going, son, you got to quit riding this thing. I was trying to ride by the streetlights. I had a bicycle. I didn't even really know how to ride a bike. I was falling down in the dark trying to ride that thing. But I was determined I was going to ride it. It was my bike. Hey, folks, do you know most of the time people have tried all kinds of things? They tried things to turn over a new leaf, to be reformed, to go to church. They do all these things that they think are religious things, but religion can't save anybody. Amen. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ that can save you. It's only his finished work of Calvary. It's only Jesus' blood applied to the mercy seat in heaven that can convert you from death into life. And it's you accepting that present that Christ purchased for you on Calvary and rose again and is the first fruits of the resurrection. That just simply means that because he rose again, I'll rise again someday. Because he lives after death, I can live after death because of what he did for me. Listen, folks, if you would put your faith and trust, the Bible says, as a little child. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst. And he said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Say, preacher, how much faith does it take to be saved? Faith of a little child. Just trusting in Jesus. Just humbling yourself and saying, you know, I'm not too good to ask God for the gift that he's given me. I'm not so high and mighty that I have to have my works in on this, but I'll trust in his works. Not so high and mighty that I think I'm anything, but humbling myself as a little child. You know, when I was a little kid, I just realized that I love my dad, man. I love my dad and mom, and I just thought, I mean, the world, the sun rose and set with them. I mean, I remember that, I mean, that what they said was truth. Why would they ever lie to me? I just trusted in them. You know, a little child, when they come to a place and they hear somebody speak truth, they receive truth. Listen, I beg you this morning, I mean, we've covered so much in the scripture this morning. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, why don't you be converted today? Converted from your mind thinking Jesus plus anything. Or maybe be converted from trusting in your own works to converted and changed that it's Jesus and His finished work. It's Jesus plus nothing else. Be converted from any other mindset where it's Jesus plus anything. Folks, the only way to heaven is Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. You say, preacher, man, it's been awful simple today. Can I just share with you again? We got to humble ourselves as little children. You say, well, I just, it's hard for me to think it's that simple. You know, Christ wanted even little children to come unto Him. And if He had made it hard, a child wouldn't be able to understand. And so from the littlest child on the property today to the most mature adult that's in this building, if we will humble ourselves as a little child and come to Christ, He'll save us today. If you're here, I beg you to do that. If you're here and you don't know Christ, what has God taken care of you through? What has God brought you through in this life? What has He saved you from by keeping angels around you and making sure you made it to this day and to this place and heard this preacher preach about the way, the truth, and the life? You may not get another opportunity to hear it this way. God may have kept and protected you for this opportunity to receive Him, to be converted today. You say, preacher, you sound like a used car salesman. Listen, the Bible says that we're not guaranteed tomorrow. And I know for me, I'm thankful for the times I've heard the gospel over and over again until the day I accepted it. But I realize this, God doesn't owe me but one. And you heard it today, as plainly as I could tell it, as plainly as a little child could accept it. And today I beg you, if you're here and you don't know Christ, don't leave the building without receiving Him today. He's that present, sitting on the table. Sometimes we're not like we were when we were little kids. You know how we are now. When I was a little kid, I couldn't contain myself. Get rid of the cake, bless God. I want the presents. We're more sophisticated as adults. When we hear something this great and we ought to want to run and receive it, we want to put up a wall and say, maybe another day. I'll restrain myself. Maybe there's something else. There's nothing else to hear, folks. You've tested the waters. You've heard about so many other things, and you've tried so many other things. And there's no trying. It's trusting. It's not, you know, putting on something. It's being converted from one thing to another. It's being born again into the family of God. I beg you today, if you're here and you don't know Christ, that today would be the day of salvation, that you bow your head and your heart and trust in Jesus Christ. Would you bow your head with me this morning? As the musicians come, if you're here and you don't know Christ, would you slip your hand up and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you? I won't come to you. I won't make my way, but I surely do want to pray for you. If you're here and you don't know Christ and you're like that this morning, would you slip your hand up and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. How many would slip their hand up today and say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. I've been converted. Would you slip your hand up? Let me see it. Amen. Listen, the only way that can happen is if you come and trust in Jesus Christ. If you didn't have the strength to raise your hand, but you know that you're not saved, why don't you step out and let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. As we stand to our feet and the music plays, as Brother Bert sings, you step out and come.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God.
you bow your head with me this morning. Some have come. Maybe you need to step out while heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We'd love to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Everything that I preached about, you can turn and trust in Jesus Christ this morning. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, why don't you step out and come? Maybe you need to join the church through baptism. Whatever it is that God wants you to do this morning, as Brother Bert sings, and heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you do that this morning.
Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight riches healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come.
Would you bow your heads and pray with me this morning? God is working in our midst, and people have received Christ, and some are coming for baptism. Maybe you're like that. You've been saved, and you need to come forward and either tell the church that you're saved, or maybe you need to come and join us in baptism and identify with the person who saved you, who gave you that gift of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ gave you salvation. This morning, whatever it is that God's asking you to do, would you pray this morning as God's people? If you're saved and on your way to heaven, would you pray if somebody needs to step out and come and be born again, that they'd do that now as Brother Bert sings?
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise
Lord. Thank you for waiting for us through the invitation and praying. We'll let you be seated. We have some things we want to share with you this morning.